right here. Just pay attention to us. The middle children.
Hello, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is Middle
Children. Na, 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 na.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wowzer.
Okay. How are you, bitch?
I'm living and thriving.
I'm living and thriving.
I am living and thriving.
Amazing. I'm living. And I'm thriving.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so what if we are? So what if we are?
Who cares?
Get off our back, you know?
It's like, I'm sorry. Did we do something to you?
To you in particular?
Personally, that no. Our thriving has something to do with you?
I don't think so.
Unless you're that girl who I stepped on today.
Which I already said.
That was
sorry,
my
but
fault.
I said move.
It wasn't my fault.
It wasn't my fault.
You fell.
That's on you.
On the ice.
I had to keep moving.
And was it in front of my house? Yes. But the city didn't bring the salt.
I don't think that if the city brings the salt, I can't bring the salt.
Anyway.
So that's pretty much.
That's pretty much it. No, I was just telling you before we started recording, and then I thought, you know what the people need to hear?
I know.
That I may be going. Well, I have some trips coming up, actually, in general.
That I love that. And I'm actually going to Portugal in April.
You are?
Wild, isn't it?
What's the details on that?
Claire and I are going. It's for her birthday.
When's her birthday? I think Claire and I have very similar birthdays as well
as
names.
April 12th.
27.
Right. But
she's
an
Aries.
Close. Yeah.
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, you aren't the same sign even. Well then, you have nothing in common.
Nothing at all, except for our last names and initials.
And the month you were born.
What was I going to say? So I'm going, I have a wedding in Spain in June.
Spain!
So in Madrid.
Oh my God.
Well, it's actually in the ruins of a cathedral an hour outside of Madrid in this small town.
I'm leaving. I'm livid.
And it is allegedly very beautiful.
Of course
so
it is.
So I have a casita in the town for the weekend. And basically, I guess, like, the only thing in the town really is this, like, place.
Wow.
So it's, like, Airbnbs and one hotel.
Oh, I'm sure they just like make money on that. People. Yeah. It's a wedding town.
So I'm going to that. But so that's on Saturday is the actual wedding. They have a bus going from Madrid to the town.
Yeah.
Like the wedding does on Friday and then back Sunday.
Wow.
And I have to be back Monday, I have to record for the Netflix podcast.
Okay.
So, I know. So, I'm going to be there for that weekend, but I have, like, the first, like, the 11 days before it off from everything on purpose.
Wow.
So, I think I'm going to go from before, I'm going to go to Madrid on, like, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then go to this town on Friday.
Absolutely.
So, before that, I was thinking of going someplace else.
Yes.
And so my friend Kelly, who lives in Paris.
Wow.
And so I was like, I'll go see Kelly, who lives in Paris now.
Yes.
So I texted her about it. And she was like, actually, I'm not going to be in Paris because she wants to, I guess, renew her visa or something. But you have to, like, leave the country for a certain amount of, like, 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then come back. And so she was like, my girlfriend, Kelsey Bailey.
They live in Paris now?
Kelly lives in Paris.
Wow.
Teaching English. She moved there like 6 or 7 months ago. And it was just for like a year. But I guess she's like extending. But Kelsey's still here. But they're like doing long distance. And Kelsey goes and visits a lot and works sometimes from there when she can.
Wow.
But so, because Kelsey couldn't go because she didn't have a work visa.
Oh.
And Kelly got the work visa because she's teaching for this program.
Right.
So she was like, Kelsey's actually coming and we're going to be in Sicily.
Oh.
And we already have an Airbnb with an extra room.
Oh my God.
Come there. And so.
No more.
I think I'm going to go to Sicily.
That's so fun.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to Italy. My family's Italian.
Italy is to die.
I would love to go to the town my grandmother's from.
Where's that?
In Calabria. It's like a town. I'm thinking my uncle went there once, but I'm like, maybe I'll go there by myself for like 2 days.
Sorrento is beautiful too.
Because I'm like, there's so much, but I don't have enough time. But I want to be
I will
back.
Say, this is what I'll say about Italy. I think like when I travel in general, the less you move, the more you like either like go into vacation mode and like soak it in. It's like when you go from place to place, you're a traveler, you're a tourist. But if you stay in one place and just soak it in, it's like.
Totally. But the thing I'm like, so maybe I should wait and go to where my nana's from when I have more time.
Yeah. Or like even just spend.
Because the thing is, I just don't have the time to.
Yeah, you don't have the time.
And I'm like, and I want to obviously, I don't want to spend too much time traveling alone in that town because I don't speak the language and.
You could do it though. It'd probably be really fun.
Yeah. But also I'm like, I would like to see Kelly. I haven't seen her in like years now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Sicily is like on the water and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. You can even.
I think we're going to go there for like 4 days and then go to Madrid and then come home.
I love that. That's a dream.
And then I'm going to Scotland, I think in August or September, because my friend's having a baby and it's, she's actually due, like, she's also listening right now, so I hope she's not mad, because I don't think it's public. Well, it's got to be public.
Well, and I think that we...
If it's not public, text me, and I'll apologize, but we already have posted it, so it can't really come down.
Text me, too. I'll apologize.
I'm not using
well.
Names, no, but no one anybody knows. That knows me knows okay, I only have one friend that lives there. But
and, you know, one of my friends from home also got pregnant.
See, so now
everybody's pregnant.
That's double jeopardy.
It is double jeopardy.
But I was gonna go, but the baby's due like in May.
Oh,
so I was like, I would stop in June, but I'm like, you know what? You know what? The last thing someone who had a baby wants? Visitors.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I've seen this game play out many times.
People are right.
Close friends.
You
want to
come a few months later once people have stopped. You know.
What I find is most women that have children, don't care about visitors until
don't believe
like 3 months
in humanity anymore. They're like, you know what?
I'm exhausted.
I dare you to speak to me.
And obviously I'm kidding. You want visitors, but not ones that stay at your house. You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, I'm like, no one wants a sleepover guest.
No one wants two babies in the house.
Exactly. And you know me.
I do. I'll put up a fit.
I'll be crying, smoking
me
weed
too.
In the house.
Absolutely.
I'm a nightmare.
I love to crawl.
So I think I'm going to go later when.
Smart. I love that.
And she's like going to have family back and forth, I'm sure.
Yes. Stunning.
So maybe I'll do something then. But then also, so I might be freelance writing for Virgin Cruise Lines. It's a whole thing. My friend writes for them. And they want to send me on a cruise, honey. And
well, how could you write about something you don't know?
How could I?
Really, how could you?
And also, I think maybe for like social media things they would want. But listen, and I think I would get to bring a friend. But listen, I'm trying to take us on a cruise, Jesse. That's what my point of this whole story is.
Let's
a cruise.
Let's do a cruise.
And you've never cruised.
I've never cruised. And I actually think I'm born to cruise.
You would love a cruise.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, they have like several dress-up dinners across.
Every dinner is a dress-up dinner for me.
We'd be sitting at the captain's table, sweetie.
The captain's table. If you think I wouldn't have 18 million new friends, and half of them are 50 to 60-year-old Cynthias.
Those are the
crazy.
Only people I talk to on the cruises.
Right? I'm like, when is, like,
but
I hope
I think so.
Poker.
The Virgin cruises are like
what is that?
Younger vibes. So like,
I'm
like,
hooking up.
Like 20s, 30s, 40s.
We're hooking. Who are we fucking?
I think it's a fuck cruise.
We're fucking.
I'm
and
gonna
I
fuck
hate to say
cruise.
That I do want to like, I want to fuck
you know
a deckhand.
Do you cruises?
Know what I mean? Yes.
They have tons of bars.
I want to play poker. I want to play poker and then
shows.
Start being like, I feel like I can read you.
And they have amazing like shows. We see a Broadway show.
Yes.
You can dress up. You can dress down.
Please, I beg of you. This is me begging of you. Let me cruise.
I would love to let you cruise.
I just want to cruise my ass off. The pictures will take. I can't.
I mean.
I literally can't.
Yeah, no, it's a fucking...
Rooms we'll sleep in. I can't.
I bet it'll be nice.
No.
And they don't have any interior rooms, I think, on these.
They all have a window?
They all have a balcony.
Goodbye.
That's the way you got to do it. When I went on a cruise last time, we had a balcony.
That's gorgeous.
And it's the best.
Yeah. I mean, to even have a private, like, way to look.
And it's a private balcony, of course.
That's what I mean. That's so beautiful. They have a
ton. And it's like, and I don't know where it stops, but don't forget, they stop places.
Yeah, of course. How could they not?
You would love haggling for in stores in the Caribbean.
You know I haggle.
They have so many cool craft things. No one haggles like me.
Oh my, please, God, please, Lord.
And I just really throw caution to the wind on cruises. I'm a very, put me in an all-inclusive situation and I'm thriving.
You're thriving. You're generous.
I'm like,
beyond
okay,
compare.
We're going to be drinking all day. Yeah. Done. I don't care. I'm going to take a nap now. There's no time on cruises. You sleep when you want.
You live when you want.
It's like Vegas in the water.
Yeah, let's go. And everything stays in the water.
And then obviously you get back and you really need to clean your body.
Absolutely. You go on a real cleanse afterwards.
Very hard cleanse.
You have to. Your liver's dead.
And before even, too.
Yeah,
but then when
ready.
You get on, it's like, game on.
Yeah.
Let's ruin what I did.
Exactly. I said I'd be good on land. In the water, no promises.
No promises.
Bye.
It's marine law.
Yeah, let's go.
I do love a fucking boat.
Please, let's go. I know I'll thrive. I'll never be more adventurous. I will take over the boat.
And there'll be adventures. They probably have like those surfing things.
I'll surf. I'll learn something new.
No, like,
new.
You know those like way where it like...
Oh my God.
When you're like... I've done that on a cruise before.
I would do
I that. Fell immediately well, I and then kept rolling support. At the bottom.
To fall is to live.
To fall is to live. And the crew, I mean, there's nightclubs, karaoke clubs. Like,
I'm salivating.
It's a city in the in the water.
Why are we not?
I saw a cover band of... I can't remember.
Okay, but they were really good.
I don't remember, but the guitarist was the hottest man I've ever laid eyes on in my entire life.
When I tell you.
I can still see him when I close my eyes.
Oh, my Lord.
And I was so, so drunk. And I was shouting the most inappropriate things. To the point that my friend was like, your uncle can hear you. You need to stop. Like, I literally was like, come on my face. At like the crew, and then the next day he's like, I saw him like walking, and it was so my uncle's eyes of like,
whoa,
this psycho.
But also,
but I have a party family.
Good for
God.
You. I was gonna say, you do me proud. You know what I mean?
I also, this is a really fucked up thing that I did on the cruise, what but I
do?
Think it's funny. And guys, I apologize in advance if this is offensive, but. My mom.
Just text him. He'll
so, like, apologize. My mom never really drinks. Very rarely.
Okay, cool.
I've never seen her drunk ever.
Wow.
And she'll, like, on a cruise or.
Yes.
If it's, like, a holiday, maybe a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, she loves a White Russian.
Good for her. Wow.
Okay. And so, like, her and my aunt will have, like, a White Russian.
I like that.
But, like, I'm talking one or two.
Of course. It's minimal.
But I thought it was going to be hilarious because we were meeting my parents at this, like, bar where they have the karaoke contest. Very intense.
Well, I can't imagine. I actually
like it's like American fucking Idol.
Yeah, that's
and it goes on the whole time. It's like four nights a week, and so they the first night is the first one, and then it's like, oh, they're moving on to the second round.
Wow,
it's a whole thing. But anyway, I did show pictures of my mom to the waitresses and the bartenders at the one bar and said, yeah. This is my mother, and she's a raging alcoholic. If she asks for a drink, please do not serve her. Save our family. And then when my mom came and she did, and the woman was like, and kept looking at me. I was like, and I was like, Mom. You can't do this to us.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And the waitress, and I was like, we're just kidding. And obviously my mom was very upset.
The waitress was probably upset too.
The waitress thought I was the demon.
Yeah.
But in my defense, I had been drinking since about 6 o'clock that morning, probably.
And that's a prank. That's a prank if I've ever seen one.
I
I know, love that.
I gambled, you name it.
I would do it all. My mom, one time we were at a, like a family bat mitzvah and they had apple teenies. That's what I remember, apple teenies.
I'm obsessed.
And my mom started to get wasted.
Obsessed.
So fun. You know, because she's like, also, I forget if I was legal and I was drinking with her, but there's nothing more fun than just like seeing your parent drunk. And then the next day, like, I just remember, I mean, maybe I was an idiot or maybe I just believe, but my dad was like, your mom has a stomach ache or mom's not feeling good. When I wanted to be like, hungover. Mom's hungover.
It's like, oh, it's like, and did you watch Real Housewives of Miami?
No.
The one girl like just gets so fucking wrecked that usually doesn't drink. And then the next day is like, they're like, we don't know what's wrong with her. She's so sick. She can't get out of bed. And it's like, girl,
Candace is feeling the wrath of alcohol.
And she was like, I didn't drink that much. And then in classic Housewives editing, they do it with the time and count the drinks.
Ding, along. Ding, yeah. Ding. Ding, ding, ding,
it was like
ding,
red wine. Ding, ding, ding.
Absolutely. Whatever.
And they end up calling 911 for her.
Well, that happened to me. We all remember.
And they come and they give her an IV. And then she's fine. And she still makes Lars's jewelry party that afternoon.
Absolutely. Well,
wait,
once you got
they called 911 for you for being hungover?
Did I tell you this? For being drunk on my 21st birthday, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He was carried out on a stretcher, folks. And that's the way you want to leave your birthday party. If you have to leave your own birthday party, girl, you're not walking.
It happens to the best of us.
Thank you for knowing. It does happen to the best of us. And for someone who didn't know, say it with me, boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries.
And
are
have
important.
The confidence back then. Can I tell you that I did a photo shoot yesterday?
Did
First
you?
Of all, I haven't done a photo shoot in forever. Second of all, I love a camera until
who
someone
doesn't?
Tells me to stop talking.
See, I always think I'm going to be amazing in a photo shoot.
I'm not.
And I kind of freeze up a bit.
Let me tell you something. I don't freeze up a bit. Your girl, like, I full on had a meltdown.
Oh, no.
It was all internal. My inner child, when it's getting wrecked, it doesn't know how to use their words. Can't speak.
Oh, I'm very much a not communicator.
Mute. I go full mute. People are like, you good? I'm like...
You know, I always thought it was like a mature way of dealing with things until recently.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Like my friend, like I'm like, if I'm mad at someone, I'm just not going to text them back.
Right.
And in my head, I'm like, that's the nice way to deal with it. Because if I respond, it's going to be rude and mean and
right.
I can't possibly. But then my friend was like, I'm freaking out that you've been so mad. And I was like, I'm not so mad.
Yeah.
He's like, you didn't respond to me. I was like, I was annoyed. I wasn't so mad.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
By not communicating, maybe that affects people that actually do know how to communicate.
Yeah. And have anxiety even.
Yeah.
It's like they then have to build the story. All of my friends, as soon as things get like tense in text, I'm always like, let's talk about this in person or like, let's talk on the phone. Because when you can hear somebody also, if you're not.
Yeah.
When you know when, yeah, you're mad. It's like you read a text and it's like. Oh, really?
Totally.
Sounds great. I'm like, you know what, bitch?
Totally.
It does sound great.
I always wonder, I'm like, I wonder how many relationships and friendships have been destroyed because of texting or emails.
For me, literally with dating, texting is my biggest nightmare. And I full on have...
Well, especially with, because your texting sometimes reads as like you're in a mood.
100%.
But... I know that that's just how you like.
I'm just like, yeah, because.
You're also like not always looking at your phone and stuff.
If
someone doesn't know you.
Yes. I come across like short, you know, and kind of cold. But it's like, I think that I can't multitask well, first of all. So when. Like yesterday, I was like, did I even respond? Then I was like, sure thing. And I'm like, is that nice? Like, I don't even know. But that, I'm just trying to be like affirmative, you know?
Oh, yeah. No. See, if that was like, I didn't at all think that you were.
But some people would, right? Like, especially if, I don't know. I can be bad. And then I also misread things. Like, I can't tell you how many fights I've gotten in with anyone I've ever dated being like, and you know what? Next time I like it's just always very aggressive and insane.
Of course, but also I find that yeah, if someone doesn't like message me back on a dating app or, and I'm like, this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, cause that's what I do.
Right.
To ice someone out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I genuinely like just don't, I'm not like a huge texter.
Yeah, me neither.
I just get very like bored. With text where I'm like, or I'm like watching something.
Yeah, right. It's always a secondary thing to do. If it's the only thing I'm doing, I'm doing nothing.
And that's why I appreciate, like, I have a friend who will send me. He's like listening right now, probably.
Oh my God, all of your friends listen. Obsessed. Thank you, Sarah, my only friend that listens.
But he will like send so many tweets and yeah. so many things all day, even if I don't respond to it. But I'm like, I'm still looking and laughing at them. I'm just not like,
and he just knows
thinking
that.
To respond in the moment. And yeah, he like knows that, that I'm not.
Good friends just kind of know your weaknesses and are like, they don't take it personally yeah. anymore.
And if I have time or if I'm like not, you know, yeah. recording. Also, it's recording. We record so much.
Right.
Like, not just for this, but we both record otherwise for things. And like, I'll read something while recording.
100%.
And be like, oh, I have to respond. And then 2 hours later.
100%.
Completely have yeah. forgotten.
I know. It's not personal. I think people know that. I really do. You can only do what you can do, you know?
Although I will say, I was talking to this guy on a dating app.
Okay, obsessed.
I've been trying, okay?
Okay,
I mean,
yes,
to much
bitch.
Fucking dismay, but...
Not to my...
We're having a great conversation. He was yeah. being so sweet, and then he just fucking stops.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl...
Well, here's the good thing to remember, half the time. Things could be going on in their life that's like, who knows?
No, totally. I'm not... That's why I'm like... It's not like he was like... anything to do with me, because I've done the same thing
exactly.
to people
exactly
where and I'm then just like oh I forgot to open the app for like 8 days because I was in a right. depressed mood.
And honestly, in like a week and a half you can just send a funny text that's like, I miss us, or like, didn't mean to hit, you know, or sorry I was in the shower.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks, and then like oh. a week ago I did send like oh, okay. a funny gif and he didn't respond to that either.
Okay,
but whatever.
Let it go. There's one guy I was talking to who was like, we should get a drink. And so then I was like, okay, great. Yeah, here's my number. And then we texted. And then I said, he was like, when can we meet up? I said, when I was free. And he just didn't respond for like 24 hours. And then was like, oh, I could do a FaceTime right now. And I said, like, no. And then I also was like, also, I really like people who communicate well and like plan.
Oh.
And, but the thing is, like, somebody...
But see, you say that, but you're not that great at it.
I'm trying to be. Even the fact that I said that is me communicating more than I would.
Yeah, but
be...
you have to then, like, respond as much as he does.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So it's just my
but
text
then he did
that
it again.
Oh, after
then
you said
then he did
it
again. He was like, okay, blah, we started planning. I said it, and then he went away again. And I was like, this is just someone who's being manipulative. But this is something I would be obsessed with in
but
the past.
See, I bet it's not even manipulative. It's just... He's probably...
He's just avoidant. It's just the way he is, probably. He's like...
Or he's like, during the day, he's not lonely. Like, this is me, honestly. Like, if I'm, like, busy during the day, I'm doing things, yeah. I'm, like, not thinking about that. But then the next day, I'm, like, alone doing something, and yeah. I'm, like, feeling lonely is when I reopen
yeah.
dating apps. But I'm, like, that's the problem. Because I need to, like, not... only look for people, I think, in times of despair.
Yes, definitely. Like, I mean, who knows? I also think this is a weird time when summer hits. Everyone's just, like, flirtier and just more likely.
The
like,
city is a back alive. I came into Penn Station yeah. yesterday. Felt like a party.
It was a party. Yeah, some people really want... But I think, like, yeah, people are flirty. People are out there. People are doing things. I don't know what it is, but... It is love. Does that make sense?
It's love, honey.
We're here. We're getting love. I don't know.
Do you have plans for the weekend?
Yeah. I'm like seeing a bunch of friends and relaxing, really. Chilling.
See, I'm trying to leave the house more.
Yeah, that is good.
Because I'm such a recluse.
It is. I think like sometimes it's you need to take time alone. In your home. Just
I agree, but I take way too much.
Yeah. And then it is like, I try to do like little fun things. Like I want to rollerblade again so bad, but even like last week, I showed you all the stuff I got. It's like walking around like an area of town. And we only did it for like 3 or 4 hours. I was exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's funny how you can do that. And then you're like, oh, like it feels great to be home again as opposed to kind of like trapped.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
No. And that's why I'm like, I was upstate for a few days. I have to go back up this week. So I'm like, I'll get plenty of alone time.
You're on the move.
So like, I might go to my friend's, like going to like an art thing tonight, which normally is not my thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, maybe I'll go to that tomorrow. I'm like seeing a friend.
Love that.
Sunday, I think I'm also like getting brunch with someone.
Look at that.
And then I'll be ready to be a recluse for the next week.
Exactly. But you'll get that time in, which is so nice. Yeah. I love that. That's really fun. I haven't gotten brunch in a while. I forget about brunch.
I only recently have gotten brunches because I worked every brunch.
Right.
For like...
Was your busiest shift even?
So like I liked brunches. Brunch is a special skill, I think.
Yes.
As a server, especially in like busy brunch places.
Yeah.
Which the restaurants that I worked at were. And so... And also, like, it's so insane. But when I was, like, still serving before I was a manager,
yeah,
I was, like, the quote-unquote head server. Absolutely. So, like, when a new GM started, who he, like, I already had kind of known because he was at a different one, he was like, okay, you can pick your, like, 5 shifts first. And then...
Wow.
And so, but I always would pick brunch.
Yeah.
Because it was so busy. A lot of people hate brunch because you can make the same amount of money at, like, dinner, but it's a lot less busy.
Right.
But I'm like, I like the choo-choo-choo-choo-choo.
You love it. It makes time go faster,
I bet. Like, literally, I think I calculated it once, and it was like 712 brunches or something.
Wow.
Like, something insane. With holidays and
oh my God.
Random things. And I was like, it was crazy.
Whoa.
But so for so long, going out to brunch, I would just like... I'm like, even now, if I go to a restaurant, I always have to face the wall.
So you're not watching.
I can't see the restaurant.
Wow.
Or else I'm like, I cannot focus on any conversation.
Oh.
I can't like talk to people. I'm always thinking So it drives me crazy. I'm like, I'd rather sit at the bar where I'm like not looking at the restaurant.
Yes. That's how I
am. But then if the bartender is not doing what they're supposed to do either, that's all I'm
focused on. Of course, it stresses you out. That's how I am when I go to... like live studio tapings, because I worked at Late Show with David Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
So I can break down any seating system like when I'm there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just because you know it, the way that
that's a fun skill.
It is a fun skill because you can tell, like, I know the way they're communicating with codes to get certain people in certain areas for the camera.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's just funny. You can like when you know the secret. It's like you can just watch secrets in certain areas or certain places. I would have never known before.
I once went to a live taping of it's not a thing anymore. Harry Connick Jr. show.
Okay.
And they like picked me. They like asked me questions.
Absolutely.
And he like made fun of me.
Okay, wait.
And it was like, he was trying to be funny.
Sure.
He was like making fun of my hair, which was blonde at the time.
I don't like that.
And he was like asking if what my parents thought of my hair and then said I looked like cauliflower or something.
Okay, wait.
And I think that like, and I was responding.
You had to.
But in ways that were like funny.
Yeah.
It was getting laughs.
Yeah.
And then I watched the show and it was completely cut out.
Of course.
And I was like, he seemed mean, I bet.
Yes, I'm sure they were like, we can't show that.
You seem mean.
Yeah, and they normally cut audience because you can't hear your audio.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's just like for the, in the audience?
To warm it up, to warm you guys up.
Like in the middle?
Yeah.
I never thought of that. Although they showed the other girl they asked the question to.
Oh, wow.
It was also so, like, they were like, everybody has under their seats. And it was like a doorbell for an apartment door.
Oh, gosh.
I, like, left mine.
Yeah, they're so stupid, that stuff. It's weird. It's so weird, isn't it? How you chase and you want things for free. And then when you get them, you're just like, this is trash. Like, this is disposable because it was free. Like, there is no denying it. Yeah.
I've gotten sent so many electric toothbrushes.
Yeah, and it's like
from companies.
Bye.
And I'm like, and then I'm like, fuck, I need an electric toothbrush. I'm like, $150? Yeah. What the fuck? And I'm like using the other one's box as a rest for my computer.
It's so funny. It's really weird because I think about that with fashion sometimes. Like I was, when I go to places that like you can get a really good deal, I try to be like, how, like, what is the worth to me? Not the dollar amount. Like, what do I see it's worth as?
Yeah. I mean, isn't like, that like art too?
Art. Yes.
I don't get art at all.
I love art. Oh.
I don't mean like the pricing of it.
Yeah. The pricing is, well, that's what's interesting is that someone else's ranking, but like, I want, like, there are certain pieces of art that I'm like, I love that. And it's like, it could be literally on an Etsy or it could be a famous piece of art sometimes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Who's the one to be like, okay, that's 40 grand.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I don't...
that's $4.
Yeah. And I think the trick is like also not falling for hype. Because Someone else is saying it's worth. And the question is, do you agree with it? Or are you like, that's high worth. I'm going to see it as high worth. When it's like, is it though to you?
Yeah, it's all about like highfalutin people just having confidence. It's all about confidence.
It is literally all about confidence.
It's about having the confidence to put $15,000 on your painting.
And to be like, it's worth it. Next question.
I mean, I find that difficult.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Now, even like, which, you know, I still don't have a fucking manager. I still don't have an agent. I have the friend who I was talking about before, like, helps me with managing stuff, like, with advice. But I'm like, it's really hard for me to be, like, asking for more money than is being offered or, like,
yeah.
Which I know is the game.
It is the game.
But it really is so, it's the most stressful part of the game for me.
Yeah. Soon you won't even see it. You'll just see it's part of the game.
But I'm like, I get so worried that it's going to, they're going to be think I'm.
But that's self-worth.
And I know, but the fear of like, they're going to say, fuck that.
But
and
who
fuck
would
you.
Do that?
I don't know. I read an article once about this girl who basically did that. And she was working for like Rolling Stone.
Okay.
And got a job offer at like, I don't know, Vogue. I'm making these up, but they were magazines. And she was, the Vogue offered her whatever. And she was like, oh, actually, can I like counter with this? And then they were like, never mind. And they like took back the offer.
Yeah, but that's
crazy,
a
right?
A company that isn't willing to even make any compromises is probably a place you don't want to work.
That's true.
A place that you're like, so when I voice my opinion or anything, you just could take it away. That's a toxic environment. And in a way, when you negotiate, you can find that out. Because someone who comes back and is willing to have a conversation mm-hmm. is somebody you want to work with. And somebody who would immediately either try to manipulate you or who puts you in a position to feel like you can't communicate isn't somewhere you want to work.
Yeah, that's very fair.
So they're showing you. It's like in a relationship when you're texting or talking and you say like, hey, that really bugged me when you did this. And someone either comes back with, well, I only did this because you did this. Or yeah. like blah, blah. Or someone who says like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You're yeah. like, I'm now seeing the type of person you are. And that's a great thing. Even though I'm scared to tell you that, because what if it goes badly? But then what if I spend more time with you and find out you're the kind of type of person that it will go badly?
Yeah, totally. That's true. But yeah.
So that's why you're going to do it. And anytime you're nervous, you can just talk to me and I'll fucking hype you up.
I know. It really does go back and forth where I'm like, I feel so confident and I feel like the smallest person on earth.
I know.
Like every day is a...
I get it.
Every day is a winding road.
Get a little bit closer.
What I was going to say, I feel like we have from a while ago, someone wrote something in.
Oh my God, you're right.
Okay, guys. So for the first time in a long time, it's time for...
It's the embarrassing story of the week.
Okay, this is from a male listener.
I know.
Far and few between. okay, I'm going to read it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm sending you my embarrassing story. I was the guy who put the dad from Inside Out has a huge dick post.
Did you see that on Stuck in the Middle?
I don't think so, but
it's
I
so
do
funny.
Believe that.
It's so funny. He posted it and I was literally like, this is so spot on. I'm crying.
Because I always comment on how I think he's hot.
Yeah.
He's a cartoon, but I'm so into it.
And he's so bright. He's got big dick energy.
He definitely does.
It's fucking great. Mm. And guys, go to Stuck in the Middle because it's really funny. Like,
I love that.
I check it out and I'm always dead.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Longtime listener, first time writer. After hearing Jessie tell the story of nearly shitting herself riding a bike as a child,
absolutely,
I knew that I had to write in with a story of my many shitty experience.
Hello.
Picture this. It's 2001, first day of sophomore year. I'm sitting in homeroom and they are doing the student handbook, which famously takes 2 hours for some reason every year. Which is so true. About 30 minutes into student conduct, I feel a rut-row in my lower intestines. In my lower intestinal region, and I think to myself, oh fuck, I have to fart. So I casually lift my butt off of the chair to let out what I hope is going to be a very silent toot. Wow,
gotta be careful,
brave.
on wooden seats or, you know, desks.
Also, just farting in class
with a prayer.
See, that's what, as a fat person, I don't have that. I'm like, if someone smells a fart in this room, everyone thinks it's me. Yeah, every time I'm in a rumble class and I smell a fart, I'm like, it's not me.
Karen.
But,
yeah.
Okay, he says, turns out my asshole had different plans, doesn't it always? I wanted to basically let loose a tiny little bit of dinner from last night. Now, let's be clear. Everybody makes the same face when they've shot themselves in public. Eyes go wide, lips form a perfect circle, forehead and upper lip sweat forms, and you know that in the moment you wish you had a gun and one bullet. Who is writing this?
This is Brian. He's
my
so
God,
funny.
My God, what a novelist.
Right, is it Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I was able to catch it with my butt cheeks, but... See, I have no fucking butt. I don't have that luxury. With my butt cheeks, but had to sit with my ass hovering above the seat for the next hour and a half. Mind you, I am frail in the closet. I am a frail in the closet young man with what one might describe as no muscle. So for me, sitting with my butt hovering above a seat was already a struggle. But I knew that if I sat down all the way, it would inevitably smear the poop into my pants.
Wait, was also, it wasn't loud though.
It wasn't loud. He pooped.
But he pooped. He sharted or whatever.
Which would have been devastating as I was wearing khakis. It sure would have. After what I can describe, you couldn't have gone to the bathroom?
In a trauma like that? What if it fell down the pant? I don't know. I'd panic.
That's a lot
of
shirt. Oh,
wait, you have underwear. I don't know.
After what I can describe as the worst morning of my life to date, I rush to the bathroom, which of course only had one stall.
No.
And I pull my pants down to the terror that was now my underwear. I have to go the entire rest of the day with no underwear
absolutely
on. Which proved to be even worse because my Spanish teacher, Senor Bodhi, was gorgeous. And I obviously had a huge crush on him. I am now 37 and I have realized that, like the two of you, I don't throw up. I just get the shits. I've had the discussion with many young people, and they're horrified, saying things like, that would never happen to me. I then say, these aren't your friends. Okay?
Yeah, these are liars.
I then say, you will never...
understand me.
I lost my place.
Oh.
I then say, you will, and when you do, you're going to think of me in this very conversation.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, you are not humbled as an adult until you shit your pants, even
yes
just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Whether that's at home, the first day of sophomore year, or on an airplane, which has also happened to me.
Oh my God.
You should probably stop farting in public. It sounds like you're a sharter. I have had those same friends who have never shit themselves come up to me one day and say, oh my God, Brian, you're right. I was casually watching 90 Day Fiancé and farted, but there was a little surprise at the end. I then say to them, welcome. You have arrived. You don't get any special award, but you are definitely pre-qualified for a mortgage. I then go on to tell them if I had a dollar for every time I accidentally sharted, I would probably have $45. Which isn't a lot of money, but when you put it into perspective, that's a lot of times that I've accidentally let a little bit of poop out of my butt on pure accident. I'm sorry that this story was so long, but I have been writing it in my head for about 3 weeks now. Keep up the good work, you two. Not all heroes. wear capes. Love, Brian.
What an icon. First of all, Brian's a comedian and he's a writer and he's a poet. That's A.
That is A.
B. God, can you imagine if you tell your friends that story and the reaction is, how did that even happen to you? I'd be like, get out of my home. I don't even care if it's never happened to you. You could pretend. You could pretend. And also when people are sick, because when I have stomach things, like, you become a child. You become a monster. There's nothing you can do. When your body says things are going to happen, you say, how fast? How much time do I have?
Like, do I have time?
Not how. How come?
How
you don't
come,
get to ask
no.
How come. And by the way, the bike story, I did have to peel over. And as I said later on, my sister or mom was like, a horse must have been out. That's how much shit came out. And it looked bad. But that's... You don't get to choose, my friend. When you throw up, you don't get to choose. But for some reason, throw up, we accept.
It's acceptable.
And that's not right. We don't blame someone who threw up at the dinner table, in the restaurant, outside. We don't go, oh, we're like, aw. When someone shits, you're like, you're
that's
a human.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
To this day, I remember once I was in my dorm and I was an RA. And so I had to, and it was shared bathrooms.
Yeah.
So like I had to share the bathroom with my residents.
Terrible.
And, you know.
Well, things happen.
Rumble in the jungle.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the hall and I was like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
And I got into the bathroom and I was like, you know, when it was like, if I move.
Breathe.
Or breathe or do anything.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
On the floor.
And I just froze.
Oh.
In like the middle of the bathroom. Like froze like a statue. For like a full minute.
Praying
until
to the gods.
Like, it like passed for one
little,
second.
Yeah.
And prayed no one walked into the bathroom. Because I couldn't. If someone had walked in and I had to speak.
Gone.
Game over.
Game over.
If I had moved one inch, and to this day, I can remember that moment so well, being like, you are amazing. Your body can do things no other body can.
True.
You held it. Like, and it was a catastrophe.
Obviously. My God. I mean, I'll never forget homecoming when I held up a stall 1 out of 3 in this bathroom where shoes, heels were rotating in and out and mine never changed. And I said, there is nothing you can do. At first, you're like, I can't fart in public. And then you go, I'll die here.
I will.
Everyone's getting a little chuckle in the line. And you know what? I'm glad I could make you smile.
It was
you,
I mean,
whores.
It's everybody poops, you know?
Everybody shits. It's so funny.
That it's such a source of
pride, practically. It's like, what? We're all humans. We all fart. It's insane. I was watching a video, I think it was on my TikTok, where it's a girl at the gym and this hot guy is like stretching her. And he goes to stretch her. And she, like, it's a loud, abrupt, like, everyone's surprised fart where then, but if you don't laugh at that, and it's like, of course.
Have I told this embarrassing story before?
I don't think, yeah.
That when I was in, like, 10th grade.
Yeah.
I broke my arm, I think, in 9th grade. I had broken my arm.
With the skateboard.
9th or 10th grade. Yeah, I broke my arm with the skateboard. And so for gym class.
Oh, God.
I was put in like a special gym class.
Yeah.
And so there was people there with physical disabilities, like, you know, mental disabilities, the whole thing. But obviously it was a hectic class because everybody's on different. And so the teacher, the coach would be like, okay, so it was me and then this other girl who was like a popular girl.
Absolutely.
And I think her name was Jill. And we weren't like friends, but we were in the same grade.
Yeah.
And I don't remember why she was there. I think
a note, period, perhaps.
Yeah,
she gets her
literally,
period.
I'm like,
so they're
I think
like,
she gets
put
like
her
bad
in the other
period.
Class.
But it was like basically like me and the head cheerleader, let's say.
Wow.
She wasn't the head cheerleader, but like the cheerleader.
She was on the squad.
She was cool.
Yeah.
And so the coach would be like, okay, you guys like basically pair off and do your own thing. But it was like uncomfortable. We don't really talk.
Of course.
The very first class, she was like, okay, so just do like the things from the physical fitness test. Like we had to do like sit-ups, push-ups, and then like walk the track.
Ugh.
And so the very first day, we're doing sit-ups and yes. she's holding my feet yes. and I farted from the bottom of the sit-up to the top of the sit-up.
Which is nice because you get to make eye contact at the top.
And we made eye contact. I can literally still see in my brain her face yeah. and like the room we were in. Like, you know those moments that it's like, it's just going to be in your brain. And I was like, so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And her face was so shocked.
It's, everyone, it, when it's not your fart, honestly, sometimes when it is shocking.
It was shocking. And then we both burst into laughter.
Yeah.
And oh, we're laughing great. Like so hard.
Yeah.
And then became like fast friends. And then for the rest of the year, we would just walk the track and talk. Like about
I
random shit.
Love that.
And then I got her a job actually at the grocery store I was working at.
I'm crying. I feel like honestly, when you can fart and laugh in front of someone, it's like a closeness you can't define.
And we had like a friend in common at the time. But I was like, so I was, you know, it was just so funny and such it's a funny so way to funny. Become friends with someone.
Yes. What it's a sped up way for sure.
There was I had another friend in high school and we became friends who was like popular at the time. She's yeah. a major fall from grace.
sorry, bitch. Text me if you're mad.
We haven't talked since high school. Not because like we just whatever. But we were in chorus in like seventh grade.
Absolutely.
Because it was like it was elementary school was like K through six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we had junior high, seventh and eighth.
Me too.
And then high school was, yeah.
Ninth, yeah.
So like, you know, when you get to seventh grade and it was like all seven elementary schools are yes, like mixing.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, like it's basically yeah. going to a new school.
Yeah.
And it was like our third day in chorus. And I guess her friend asked for a brush, like on the okay. other side of the room, a hairbrush. And she like threw the hairbrush to her and it just nailed me in the side of the head.
Oh, fucking fuck. Come on.
But we became like friends? Really fast friends from that. Because she was nice like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. And then we like got to talking a bit. And then we had German class, actually.
I'm dead.
And she was in my German class and she like walked in and like sat next to me. And we became friends that way.
That is a beautiful thing then. That's nice. I mean,
it was very funny. It was also my second day of junior high and I got nailed in the head with a hairbrush
that's what
by
I'm
a
saying.
Hot blonde.
That's,
but.
Well, yeah, that's rough. That's rough times. God, do you remember that feeling of going to a new school? I remember being so scared. And I, you remember I mean getting that, on the bus? The bus.
Because I never... Like, what? My parents have lived in the same... Like, I never moved as
me
a
too.
Kid. So...
But I meant, like, when you
oh,
went to
high.
Middle school or, like, even just the start of every year, I was scared out of my fucking mind.
And also, because... So, my junior high was split into four, like, halls, basically.
Okay.
And they had names all named after, like... They changed them the last 3 years because they were all named after like Southern war generals.
Absolutely.
Because it was like Houston, Clay, Calhoun,
oh
and
my God.
Something else. But it wasn't by like alphabet. I don't know how they organize it.
Yeah.
And then if your sibling had been in that hall at some point, you would be put in that same hall.
Wow.
So like I knew because my brother had been
Legacy.
In Calhoun, I'd
yeah.
be in Calhoun. But then... All of my best friends in like
we're somewhere
elementary
else.
School, we were each in a different hall.
See?
And that's where all your classes were. So
yeah,
like,
and you had no way
was,
to communicate
it was, like,
either.
All math, science, English, like all the core classes were like in that
right.
hall. And so, and that's where your locker and stuff was. So I remember being
right.
like a nervous wreck.
That's what I'm saying. And there was no texting. So you would call your close friends and be like, who do you have? And then when you don't have the same thing, it'd be like... Maybe I'll
totally.
See you at lunch. We have different lunch periods. Like, maybe I'll see you after school. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. It was such a nightmare. You would I'd be so nervous. And then you'd hear, like, Rachel and Kim are together. Rachel and
I
Kim
know.
Are together. They're together without
Fuck.
Me. And you'd be
yeah.
like, Rachel and Kim are going to get close. And then what am I going to be? Chopped liver? What if we don't hang up after school?
It's so funny.
Mom, what am I going to do? I don't want to make new friends. I don't have new friends.
That was after eighth grade. I was losing. They came into our class like the end of eighth grade to explain
yeah.
how we're going to be getting recommended for either like regular Regents program, honors Regents programs, or integrated Regents programs.
Okay.
Which was for the dumb kids.
Jesus Christ.
I can give you a guess what it was called. because it was called the Integrated Regions Program, but it was for the slower kids. So that was what, so they're explaining and everyone's like, oh my God, imagine being in that, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're like, the letters will be like, when you get home, the letter should be there.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember opening the letter and seeing IRP.
Oh my God.
And devastated.
Devastated.
Devastation reigns. Of course, my best friend Kate is in honors.
Of course she's in honors.
Steph, my current roommate, honors. Like my friend honors, but then my one friend Devin.
Thank God for Devin.
Calls me sobbing, being like, I got IRP. And I was like, I got IRP too.
Yeah, oh my God. And then thank God.
So I mean, listen, we were the smartest kids in class, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you
and
that,
then I
top
did
of the
get
class,
out the
honey.
Next year. Thank Jesus you very much. I went from that to honors. Thank you very much, because I made it my fucking mission, even though I hated every second of it.
Yeah. God, that's trauma. Kids are traumatized left and right. Literally traumatized. We put them in these systems and these things that start to make them question their self-worth.
From the get.
Yeah, like literally from the get. We do it to them and it's just so horrific. I remember I like never was in an advanced or honors class ever, and I did really amazing in chemistry, so they suggested I did honors physics or AP physics, and I was like, I can't believe it. I literally got there and just started flunking the class. Yeah. And I felt like shit. I had to drop the class, and the teacher like almost immediately was like, you shouldn't be here. And like I was just like, I think I can do it. I think I can work hard. And then we had a take home, Chris.
Ooh.
And I was like, I can't, I'm going to fail the take home. It doesn't matter if I put 20 hours in, I'm going to fail. I don't understand this. And like, just the way I felt at first being like, I can't believe it. I am smart. I am in an advanced class. And then immediately being like, you shouldn't be here. You suck.
Yep. I got
fail.
I remember my first honor. I was only in honors history.
Yeah.
And the first test, I got a 40. Yeah. And it said, see me on it.
Yep.
And I didn't because I was too scared.
Yeah.
So I just pretended not to. And then at the end of the semester, he like called me up. And he was like, why didn't you see me on this test? And I was like, and he was like, I was going to say you can retake it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I'll just take the 40. I'm not going to do better. It was a nightmare. School sucks.
School?
Don't get me started. I'm like, the fact that we have classes to learn about like how to do proofs and like math things that like physics, but there's no class on like doing your taxes.
Stupid, psychotic.
What the fuck in the world? Why are we not learning how to
understand.
Do like taxes? How to like invest in things?
Who came up with the system? Like, why
how to
is
read
it
a
math
lease?
About budgeting and finance?
It really should be. There should be a whole thing on like finance.
Of course.
Finance should be something everybody fucking learns. And then the whole world isn't going to be. That's probably fucking why.
That
if
is
everyone
why.
Fully understands how credit cards can ruin your life,
it's
and
gatekeepers.
Stuff.
Those are gatekeepers. They don't want people to learn how to use money so that they can't make money.
It's crazy.
That's how they make money. Credit card companies make money by like people not understanding.
And like health insurance companies, there
I
should
don't
be a fucking. You should learn health insurance from the fucking age of kindergarten, because it's so goddamn confusing.
Yeah. And then also as kids you can be like, why the fuck are we doing this? And the adults can say, we're stuck in a no one knows.
I watched Dr. Death on Peacock. It's like,
okay, that sounds
scary. A documentary. Okay. Well, it's like a whole thing about I
Death?
Listened to the podcast too. No, it's this doctor who was like a neurosurgeon.
Love.
And in his first 18 months of being a doctor, like a neurosurgeon, he had 38 surgeries and 32 of them, like two of them had died. The rest all had insane issues. And he just had no idea literally what he was doing. And it was like these two doctors who kept following him from job to job, trying to get the board to pay attention, finally went to like the DA of Texas and were able to, they're like, he is actively killing people on purpose.
on purpose?
Like he would... something was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he went to like the best school and he was perfect at school. Like the teachers were like, he really was amazing here.
Yeah.
Like those aren't lies, but he would do things like he thought he was God.
That's the problem.
And he also had drug problems.
Yikes.
And so, like, he, his own best friend needed, like, an adjustment of, like, he had fallen and hit his
I'm scared,
spine,
I'm scared.
And he paralyzed his own best friend from the neck down and, like, never even said sorry.
Shut up.
Never. Like, that was what he would do. And, like, this woman went in because she had fallen and there was, like, a bad disc in her back. So he was just supposed to take out the disc and she dies. It was supposed to be a 40-minute long surgery. He never, like, apologizes to the family. He thinks, and but during these surgeries, other people are in there being like, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Oh, my God, shut
but
up.
But he's the top dog.
Yeah, you can't call him
and
out.
And so, like, there was one where he had, it was him and, like, the nurse, the OR nurse.
Right.
And he was, like, putting in hardware, like, fake something in the spine. And the nurse was like, that's not bone.
Yeah.
Like, that's not anything. That's between the muscle and the bone. That's not where that goes.
Right.
And he said the neurosurgeon, like, he just kept yelling at him and was like, whatever. And the nurse kept saying, like, this is wrong. And then he was like, then go get your boss or whatever. So he, like, goes and gets someone. The boss, like, gets him out of the room, the doctor that's doing it wrong. And then the next doctor who fixed the surgery, like, had the nurse film it to be like, look at all of this shit, because he was like, I knew there was going to be something down the road. But the point of the whole story is basically the healthcare system is so fucked up that, like, especially in the state of Texas, like, a neurosurgeon on average brings a hospital at least $3 million in revenue a year.
And they get paid no matter what happens.
And there's a cap on medical malpractice suits in Texas. So the top thing you can get if you sue for malpractice is $250,000. So they're like, we get 10, you know, six malpractice suits. We're still coming out.
Oh, my God.
And so literally, it was crazy. It was these two doctors, like, fought tooth and nail, and he's now in prison for life.
Where is it?
On Peacock.
You guys were all watching. That sounds...
It's only four episodes, and it's fascinating. It's so good.
I'm fully like, that's because I was watching Botched, different, but I feel like Dr. Dubrow, whatever, and the other guy, they have these like God complexes, these doctors. Like, I'm watching them and just the way they are, and they're like, we love a challenge. And I'm like, you fucking sick fuck.
You know what we should do?
What?
In the Patreon?
Patreon movie episode.
Yes.
We'll watch two episodes of Dr. Death.
Done.
Out of four.
We're doing it.
Together. So guys, hop over there.
Fucking hot. We're about to, we're doing it now. There's no
we're
way.
Doing it now. Like, so it'll be up now if you're listening.
I'm fucking hyped,
it's on
bitch.
Peacock. So you know, it's on Peacock.
Okay.
Which you can have even if you don't have
And if you don't, you just account. Listen. We'll just literally tell you what's
and it's,
happening.
It's fascinating. And the fucking, I mean, you'll see.
I because can't.
The
doctor, nurse.
The woman, the district attorney, assistant district attorney is like a young woman.
Okay.
And it's like so unprecedented.
Yes.
And like the people, the families are like, we never thought anyone would actually help in this way. And she was like, I just had a feeling like this was crazy. And it's so hard because she's like, a lawyer. She doesn't know anything about neurosurgery.
Of course.
So to be able to prove things were unintentional. And the other lawyer who was like working for the civil cases on the families was like, if you had told me that a doctor would go to prison for life for what he had done in the operating room, she's like, this woman is an angel. There's it's so unheard of in the law world. And
well, because that's a really mean, malicious person.
But it all comes down to, I think he really had a God complex because finally, and I mean, it's not a huge spoiler. It's been out there, but at the trial, the guy who's like the expert witness, the doctor, must be some mega neurosurgeon that this guy actually respects.
Yeah.
Because it was only after that it kind of seemed like he realized maybe I was a terrible surgeon.
Right.
Because the guy was like, this is Like, I like pointing to jurors being like, you could walk into the operating room and do better than this. Like,
wow. Yeah.
There's no one in the hospital. And that's why it's like, it's the healthcare system. No, you've been training
for years. Steady. It's the healthcare system.
They're like, there was seven people in every fucking room he was in.
Right.
And only these two doctors are the ones
who are brave enough to speak up.
And it's like, and he, yeah, but it's crazy. So guys, on that note,
yeah, guys, God, we love
you. Hop over to the Patreon.
Yes.
We're going to continue this party. But until next time.
And go to Stuck in the Middle. Join the combo. Yes. If you want to send an embarrassing story, do it. Also, don't forget to rate and review. I am looking for positive feedback in my life. And I'm not, I need more reviews. You know what I mean? And Chris does too. We both, it's like, help us out. You know what I mean?
Please.
Please.
And until next time.
Yeah.
Live every day like you're what? The oldest.
We love you. Bye.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rude.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.